take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I want you to find verse number 41. John chapter 8, verse number 41. I'm going to give you the title of the sermon, and a couple of you are going to freak out when you hear it. The sermon is called The Church Liar. So I'm coming after you. The Church Liar. Some of you are going to squirm until you hear what it's really all about. The Church Liar. John chapter 8, verse number 41. If you find that, would you stand with me real quick? I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this in John 8, 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And let's pray. Father, bless now. The time's short. I pray, God, that you'll help me to quickly deliver the truth. And then, Father, may we be better because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can have a seat there. Satan is a liar. And the Bible makes that very, very clear here. The Bible says that he is the father of all lies. So when you and I, when we don't tell the truth and when we lie, somewhere along the way, Satan has influenced us to behave like that. But let me tell you this, don't you let him use you to lie for him. Satan has hurt many, many through the years with his lies. Historically, he has lied and deceived many unto their own destruction. If you think about it, he lied to Eve about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Satan lied to Eve, and he told her, thou shalt not surely die. What a liar he was. She listened to his lie. And the whole human race has suffered ever since. All the grief that mankind has suffered since that day can be traced back to a lady who listened to a lie. Boy, are not lies dangerous? Are they not destructive? Satan lies to the lost, and because of it, many end up in that place that's called hell. Satan lies to weak people, but Satan lies to strong people. Satan lies to the educated. Satan lies to the uneducated. Satan lies to children. Satan lies to teenagers. Satan lies to adults. It doesn't really matter how long you've been saved. He'll still lie to you. Right. Doesn't really matter how intelligent you think you are. Satan still lies to you. Satan is the master of deception. He's the Olympic gold medalist when it comes to lies. He is the best liar ever. He's the champion of the champions when it comes to deception. His lies are believable. They're also, in some cases, eternally destructive. If I could, I'd like to warn you about some of his lies that I think he has used through the ages and he still uses today. For instance, the great liar will tell you that you cannot conquer the sin that is in your life. But he's a liar. He'll tell you that there is sin in your life, but you can't overcome it. But you do need to remember, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. The Bible says in Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You are a conqueror. But wait a minute. As a born-again Christian, you are more than a conqueror. It says here, you are more than a conqueror. That means conquer plus. That means conquer on steroids. That means conquer with that extra, extra energy. But he tells you this. Satan will come to you and he'll tell you, now listen, that sin that's in your life, others have had victory, but you won't. You can't. He's a liar. You can. You can have victory. He may tell you that that sin that's got your controlling you right now, it's just too much for you. No, it's not too much for you. Satan is a liar. He tells you that you're different than others, and that sin that they have conquered, you cannot, because you just don't have what it takes. Listen, folks, Satan's been lying to people for a long time. He's very good at it. He wants to convince us that whatever sin is in our life, that we just can't overcome it. But we can. Why? We are more than conquerors. He tells you you're too weak. He's a liar. He tells you God helps others, but God won't help you. He's a liar. He tells you that you just can't be a good Christian. He's a liar. He tells you, then he'll get you to thinking, well, I guess the sin that I'm committing, it's not so bad. He's a liar. He's a liar. Well, others are doing it. Well, that doesn't make it right. But what a liar he is. So I don't know what sin might be present in your life right now. You all do realize there's still a right and a wrong. Don't let our society convince you everything's gray. It's not. There is a right and wrong that is not determined by me or you. It's not our humanistic approach to anything that determines right and wrong. God determines right and wrong in the Bible. Right. And he tells us, though, if it's wrong, we can overcome it. Now, I'm not telling you you'll overcome it on your own. You'll overcome it through the power of God. You'll overcome it with the help of God. But don't you believe the devil's lie. I think there's somebody in here, there's a sin in your life, and you know you need to fix it. Have you noticed I've not even mentioned your sin yet? I'll just let God take care of that. What are you thinking about? But you know something? There's something in your life right now, and you tried to overcome it, and you failed. And then you tried again, and you failed. And you tried again and you failed. And the devil came to you and said, oh, forget about it. Just forget about it. I'd like to say today, don't forget about it.
Come on.
Don't let the devil lie to you about it.
Come on.
You can do it. And you know something? I would rather you try and fail all the way to heaven than to stop trying. But the big liar, he'll lie to you and say you cannot conquer the wrong or the sin that's in your life. Let me tell you this. I think that the liar, the big liar, will tell you that your past is so bad that God can't use you in the present. But you got to know something about Satan. He's a liar. He'll lie to you. He'll come to you and tell you that your bad past is so bad that God can't use you today. Hey, listen to 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. See, here it says old things are passed away. Look, you look back at your past and you say, there's some pretty nasty stuff in my past. Well, leave them in the past. God wants you to have victory today. We all have things in our past we wish that were not there. Everybody does. You say, well, Pastor, not me. Well, then you've got a pride issue in your present. Satan tries to intimidate you and I with our past. Anybody here, this is a term. I'm going to coin a term. You ever have satanic flashbacks? You ever be living along and all of a sudden Satan pops something into your brain and you're thinking, whoa, where did that come from? And you're thinking back to things that you used to do, and what's he doing? He's trying to drag you into your past. He's trying to get you down. He's trying to steal your victory. He's trying to steal from you today. And look, there's nothing we can do about what happened yesterday. There's nothing that we can do. Don't let Satan psych you out about your past. He deceives you into believing that God won't use you today because of last year and 5 years ago, and I don't believe that's true. You know, if you think about it, Moses, his past was that he was a murderer. I am glad the day that God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to use you, and you're going to go down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and you're going to lead 3 million people down to the promised land. I about imagine Satan was right there, and Satan probably said to Moses, don't, no, you can't do that. You, no, Moses, you can't do that. Remember that Egyptian that you killed and you buried in the sand? Now, Moses, come on. You're going to embarrass yourself. You're going to end up, your picture's going to be in the paper. They're going to say, look at the guy that they've chosen to lead this group of people. He murdered someone in the past. Now he's leading these 3 million people. I'm glad, I hope Moses said, Satan, you just go right on back to hell where you belong. God told me I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it. But Satan will come to you and he'll say, ah, you did something bad. God can't use you today. Did you know something? God has nothing but sinners to use. That's all he has. I'm glad. At least I can be used that way. Did you know that at one point in the life of Elijah, he was suicidal? Did you know that Noah, at one point, had a pretty raunchy testimony? He's drunk. Did you know that David at one point committed adultery? Do you know that Peter denied Jesus Christ right before he preached Pentecost? If you think about it, he's warming his hands by the devil's fire. And a lady comes up and says, I know who you are. And he said, no, you don't. Said, well, you're with Jesus. He said, I am not. You know what happened? But Peter got that right. And just a few weeks later, Peter is standing on Pentecost preaching one of the greatest revivals in the New Testament church, and 3,000 people got saved. Hey, I'm sure the devil on the day of Pentecost said to Peter, look, you just the other day, you denied even being a part of the Christian group. Now here you are, you're going to stand up there and preach. I'm glad that Peter said, you're a liar, devil. You're not going to stop me. Jonah ran from God. Rahab, in her earlier days, was a harlot, but she went down in history. Satan lies to you. He'll come to you and he'll lie to you about the forgiveness of God. Can I tell you something, folks? The forgiveness of God is quite thorough.
That's right.
But there's a liar, and he works on you and me. He lies to us and tells us that we can't overcome the wrong in our life, but we can with God's help. He lies to us and he tells us that bad that was in our past, it's going to keep us from ever being used of God. And that's not true. Then I would tell you this. I think the devil will lie to you about this. He'll lie to you and he'll tell you when you get backslidden, run from the church. And he'll tell you to run from the preacher. That's what he'll do. But you got to know, he's a liar. Backsliders should run to church, not from it. Did you know that injured people run to the hospital, not from it? I'm bleeding. I'm going to run from the hospital. I don't want them to know that I'm injured. You will bleed to death. Hey, I don't know how to convince you of this. Run to the preacher, not from him. Injured people run to the doctor, not from the doctor. I mean, if you're having a heart attack, you should not say, the last person I want to see is my cardiologist. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 22, it says, and she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. A woman had a son. Her son had died. Her life was going really tough. She didn't run from the man of God. She ran to the man of God. And when sin has made your life tough, don't run from God. Run to God. Don't run from church. Run to church. Don't run from the man of God. Run to the man of God. When we sin, Satan is right there to say this, run. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to get further away from the church. Further away from the man of God. Further away from goodness. Folks, everybody sins. And listen to this. Everybody sins. Some run to God and survive. Others run from God and become casualties. Now, let me explain something then. That means this. As a pastor, if you get yourself in a mess and you do wrong and you sin and you come to get help, I better learn how to help people. I better learn how to be confidential with my help to you. I'm saddened. And I'll tell you one thing that the social media networking makes me angry about. It's when people spread the wrong of other people. You will not find your pastor putting something about you on Facebook. I have no intention of revealing your wrong. But you and I as a church, if we want people to run to the church when they've done wrong, that means when they get here, they've got to have a loving reception and an appropriate reception, a forgiving reception, so they know that they're safe. Sometimes people run because they're afraid they're going to get hurt further. But the liar, who is the devil, he comes along and says, run from the church, run from God, run from the preacher. He's a liar. He's a liar. This next point you won't like as much. The liar will tell you that if you don't want to tithe, don't. You don't want to tithe. But he, so you know, he's a liar.
Yep, that's right.
He's a liar. If God commands that we give to God, we should give to God.
Right.
He said in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. If something needs to suffer in our lives, let it not be our relationship with God. And let me tell you all, I'm not as old as some here, but most of you, I am 62 years of age. I've been through a few waves of economic downturn in our country. I've seen some difficult times. It's always my recommendation when the finances start to go tough in the country, don't you bail out on God. You say, why? He's in charge of the economy. The big one. You say, I'm not going to be able to afford to be faithful to God in my giving. Give up your bottled water. You say, what? We'll all die. Did you know America was alive before you had bottled water? Do you know there are people in other countries that laugh at us because you pay $4 a cup of coffee at Starbucks?
Come on.
I'm a part of the generation where we made our own. Get this. There are some of you, you've never experienced this. There are people in here. Any of you ever carry your own lunch to work?
Hello.
You were down at the Goodwill and you seen a thing called a lunch box, but you did not know what it was. What's that? That's back in dinosaur days where we took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in that box with a handle. Then we had a thing called a thermos. I'll never forget when I got my first Stanley thermos. My dad carried one. He took hot coffee. It was about that tall. It was round. It was green. And it had this fancy cup, and it kept your coffee hot. Wow. When I got my first thermos, I knew I was a man. Some of y'all, come on. Some of y'all, you remember it. Now we feel like everything's got to be bought out there. Now listen, folks, let me tell you something. Let's not cop out on God and stop giving to God. We are a bit of a spoiled country. And the devil comes along and says, look, if you give to the Lord, if you tithe, if you give to the Lord like you're supposed to give, you're going to fall apart financially. Well, maybe you ought to stop paying $4 a cup of coffee. You're not going to believe this. But people drank water out of a well. Get this. You go back far enough, they drank it out of a creek or a river. Now, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that around here, especially. But I'm just telling you, do you understand how much money is being made by the people that put water in bottles? Do you know how much of the water that you purchase is from the tap and put into a bottle? All I'm telling you is this. Stay right with God financially. There are things to adjust. There are things that we could, in our generation, give up long before you give up being right with God financially. Oh, not only that. Let me tell you this. The liar will tell you that the hypocrite justifies your misbehavior. The hypocrite. You know the hypocrite. Now, the devil's a liar. Because someone else is a hypocrite, that does not justify your misbehavior. We're all looking to blame someone.
That's right.
One thing that our people hear from me all the time. You're 40 years old and you say, well, I behave like I do because of my dad. Well, you left your dad's home a long time ago, buddy. You've been living on your own longer than you live with daddy. Won't you just suck it up and become a man? Take responsibility for your own actions. And I know in our society, we've got to blame somebody. Nobody wants to take blame. Listen, the liar will tell you that the hypocrite's behavior justifies your behavior. I don't come to church because of the hypocrites. That's the devil's deception. So many say, I don't serve God because of the hypocrite. The devil's lying to you, and you are then lying to yourself. You may have to, did you know that you have to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one? Luke chapter 6, verse 42 says, either, how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out of the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to put out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. And here's what it's saying. Saying, you looked, and in your brother's eye there was a mote. That word mote there would almost be equivalent to a toothpick. There's a toothpick in your brother's eye, and you're looking at that. God said it might be a good idea for you to look at the beam that is in your eye. What's that? A tube before. Said, you're looking at someone else and you're seeing their toothpick of hypocrisy. When it might be a good idea for you to get your eyes off the toothpick and get your eyes on the tube before that's sticking out of your mouth.
Come on.
God's saying you better take a look at what's wrong with you before you start examining everybody else. And we don't need to be hiding behind everyone else anyway. You say, I know somebody in the church that's not real. You think you do. So if you know somebody in the church that's not real, that makes it okay for you to be a fake?
Come on.
That's really how you think? Is that really the way we're supposed to behave? Well, I've seen so-and-so. God knows you couldn't survive if you've seen everything that I see.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
So you don't serve God because there's some phony? You're unfaithful to God because there's some phony? So we say there is a hypocrite, and because of that hypocrite, I'm not going to do right. Have you ever considered maybe, because there is a hypocrite doing right, so we had a good example? Or are you not looking to do right, but are you looking for an escape route and an excuse so you don't have to do right? You want to point at someone and say, right there, boy, I'm a bad Christian. No, sugar plum, you're a bad Christian because you won't step up and do what's right on your own. Sugar plum is a Hebrew word for a female Christian. But the liar, the devil, he'll tell you that the hypocrite's behavior then justifies my lack of doing right, or it justifies my wrong. Do you know something? It doesn't matter if everybody in the world's going to do wrong. You and I are supposed to do what's right.
That's right.
Don't compare yourself among yourself. You want to compare yourself to Jesus Christ.
Yes. That's right.
There's no hypocrisy there. He's the real deal.
That's right.
The liar. Then, you know what the liar will tell you? He'll tell you if you'll come to church and just sit down every once in a while in church that you're fine, you're a good Christian. I think he's a liar. I think there's more to Christianity than coming in and sitting down in the room.
Yes. Come on.
Don't you think, for instance, what would you think of a policeman that got in his car down at the police station? He came in on a shift, got in the car, and sat there for 8 hours in his car at the police station. He walked by, said, what are you doing? He said, I'm being a police officer. I'd say, well, aren't you supposed to be out there doing something? I'm in my car. I'm at the station. You know, there are some people come to church, plunker down, sit there, let somebody else do all the work and say, look at me. I think there's a little more to it than that. Let's go to the fire station today. What would happen if you went to the fire station and used to be they would have their sleeping quarters on the second story and there's a pole. The bell would ring, which meant there was a fire. They would get out of their bed. They'd go over to a pole and they would slide down a pole to take them to the first level to get in the fire truck so they could go put out the fire. Well, wonder if we all went down to the fire station today and the fire bell rang and there was a guy and he ran over there. He jumped on the pole. He slid down. He went over to the stairs. He walked back up. He got on the pole and he slid down. He went over to the stairs. He went back up and he slid down. Someone said, what are you doing? He said, I am a fireman. I'm at the fire station and I'm sliding on the pole. You would say, sir, there's a fire. I know. What's this? He'd run up the stairs, get on the pole, and slide down, and run up the stairs, get on the pole, and slide down. You'd say, sir, the house is going to burn down. He said, I'm sliding on the pole. I'm a fireman. And what would you say? That's stupid. Right? So you every once in a while come by the fire station, you sit in the padded chair, and you watch. I watch Christians sliding down the pole all the time. And then I say things like this. And for a moment, they glance at the possibility of the truth that there's more to the Christian life than just sitting there watching. We have military men here. Thank God for you. If we went down to the base and there was a man standing there doing this, for 24 straight hours. And then someone relieved him and they just stood there and did this for 24 straight hours. If there was a war going on, we would think there would come a moment when they might stop standing there and get involved. Folks, we're soldiers for Christ.
That's right.
Say, I love God. I serve God. He's my captain. Well, just so y'all know, we're in a war. We're getting shot at with some real bullets. You can stand there and tell me how much you love God and how important God is to you. But there might come a point when you need to pick up your sword and get involved in the battle. And again, I thank God for our military. But you know, there are all sorts of people today that join the military so they can get a college education. I'm going to tell you something. There's this slight chance that if you join the military, you will get shot. You say, that's not fair. Well, I do. I want my rights. You'll get your rights, all right. You see, the liar comes along and says, just every once in a while, run by the fire station, you'll be all right. There's more Christian life than that, folks.
That's right.
There is. Hey, I'm almost finished, but let me tell you this. I think the liar will tell us, he'll come along and he'll tell us that the preaching, it's for somebody other than you. Even like a sermon like this, somebody said, well, I'm glad so-and-so is here to hear this. You might have missed who it was for. Because the devil's a liar.
That's right.
In Obadiah chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. You know, you hear the preaching, and if we're not careful, we say, well, I'm glad my wife's hearing this. You know, give her the elbow. I'm glad my husband's hearing this. It might be that you need to hear this. Preacher gets up and He preaches, and if we're not careful, we'll be deciding. I used to call it pitchfork religion. The preacher throws it out. you grab it in your pitchfork and you toss it wherever you think it belongs. It might be a good idea for some of it to fall in your lap.
Yep, that's right.
There are so many things that we hear preached, and we, if we're not careful, we assume that's for somebody else. You know, I said something about tithing a minute ago that was for you. I said something about spectatorism in Christianity that was for you. The liar. Devil's a liar. He is very, very good at it. This liar will make you believe that money is more important than God and church. And folks, it's not. It's not. Money is so powerful in our country. If you said, Pastor, what's the big problem in our country? Well, the big problem in our country is she needs to be saved. But if you want to know why we have such corruption, it's all about money. It's all about money. It's a sad thing. We went through a pandemic, and I'm not trying to get involved in politics, but I will tell you this. That was about money too. There were decisions made that were about money. Money this, money that. Who's the president going to be? It's all about this. Money, money, money. Folks, there's something more important than money. I think God's more important than money. Listen, let me ask for your help. I would love to have your help getting some people to come back for homecoming next week. But the devil will come to you and say, don't worry. Somebody else will take care of it. Somebody else will invite visitors. He's a liar. He didn't want us to do our part. He's trying to minimize our involvement. I'm finished. But a sermon like this could go on for hours. Devil's a liar. He's a master at lying. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you know what the devil will do? He'll lie to you about salvation. I ask, if you died today, or have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And the devil comes to you and says, don't worry about that. You have plenty of time. You do? How do you know you have plenty of time? Do you know that every second, 8+ people pass into eternity? They didn't think they were going. The devil lies to us, says you have plenty of time. Wait until you're old and get saved. Let me tell you something about that getting old thing. It comes far quicker than what you expect. I say the Bible teaches there's one way to heaven, and that is through trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not through giving money to a church. It's not through good works. It's through the gift of God, which was made available through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the devil comes along and says, come on. That's one of those old-fashioned, narrow-minded preachers. Actually, that comes from the Bible. And if there's something narrow-minded about that, that means we have a narrow-minded God. But the devil will say, come on. You get to heaven your own way. Well, we'll see how that works out for you. But according to the Bible, it won't. You say, well, you have to be a good person. You know something? I want everybody to be good people. But you need to be born again. You say, but you got to get baptized. Now, we have a baptistry. It's right here behind this curtain. And there's water in there, but I can dunk you and hold you under for 30 minutes if you want, but that won't get you to heaven. Get your wife the insurance money she's longed for a long time, but it's going to get you to heaven. It's salvation by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The devil's a liar. Do you understand that there are all sorts of people out there in churches today that thought that if they gave money to their church, that secured them a place in heaven? That is a lie.
That's right.
We're a Baptist church. There are churches out there that said if you get baptized, you can go to heaven. Folks, that is a lie.
That's right.
If you'll do good, that'll take you to heaven. And again, I'm for you doing good, but doing good won't take you to heaven.
Right.
It's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what will take you to heaven. The liar, he's good. He's really good at what he does. Don't let him take control of your life. He's a master.